Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of chapter 2, we were talking about the crumbling of the moral status of people in our day. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I've never gone to a dance. Now, I can remember in elementary school when a teacher in our music class in fifth grade made me dance. I'd said no, and she made me get up there and dance anyway. Now, I knew not to yell at her, talk back to her, do anything. I knew the trouble that I would be in, not just at school, but when I got home. So, didn't talk back, and it wasn't dances like we have today, and that all the wild stuff that goes on, gyrations. It was something that they would probably do with little kids. But when she sent us back to class, instead of going back to class, as they were walking in their line, I turned right. I walked out, walked back home, and I told my dad. Now, I honestly don't know exactly what happened after that. But I know this, that whenever they danced in music class again, that teacher did not even hint that she was going to make me dance again. So I think that that pretty well took care of it. But I say all that to say, I remember that my dad is a pastor, and I would hear him preach, and he used J. Edgar Hoover's statistics from the FBI on how many prostitutes generated business on the dance floor, that it was one of their prime areas, and that was one of the social meeting areas of that day. It went on to tell of how many young ladies lost their virginity and became unwed mothers as a result of their meetings on the dance floor with other fellas, and at times guys that they just met at the dance floor. But seeing all that, the question becomes, what happened to separation? What happened to the things that we used to do in attacking the alcohol crowd and the movie crowd and the dance floor, as well as other sins of life? It seems the growth that the churches were experiencing back in that day, and the buildings became more about the personalities of man and the Nebuchadnezzar attitude of, look at the Babylon that I have built. The day around us, as we view the crumbling of the moral status of this society, yea, even of our own churches, it calls for much more then how can we build our numbers so everyone, we mean God, but so everyone will be impressed. No, we mean everyone, don't we? For the first time, more than half of the births to women under the age of 30 occurs outside of a marriage in the United States. Now, that bothers me. In the 1950s, there was a teenage young lady in the church whose parents were faithful members of the church, and this young lady got herself pregnant. As a matter of fact, evidently she had been very loose and wasn't even sure which guy it was. But her parents sent her to a home for unwed mothers in another city because it was early in the pregnancy, and the people of the county and the city and most of the people didn't know about it. And usually in that day, in the 1950s, when they'd go to a home for unwed mothers in another city, they understood that when that child was born, they were giving the child up for adoption. And the mother was allowed to stay for a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks after the birth of the child, till the changes about her body that happens as a result of the birth could be taken care of, and then she could go on home. Now, I know that this lady in the 1950s, and I remember the family and so forth, but they kept the pregnancy quiet. They had people thinking that she had a job out of state. And that's what people thought, probably to this day, if the people that are still living think the same thing. And I know, of course, those parents have long been gone, and the lady's still alive. And by the way, the lady got her life right with God, for which we praise God. And I know the whole situation was there, know all about it, although I was just a little guy back in the 1950s. Back in that day, to get a divorce meant you moved outside the county. Moving in and living together without marriage was the dregs of society. In other words, immorality was a shame. It was not a badge of glory. If you went into a median income neighborhood in that day, you didn't find couples living together that were not really married. And if there was a couple like that, they had everybody thinking they actually were married but weren't. And now, nearly any median income neighborhood you drive into today, people living in those homes, they're nice homes, but moving in and living together. What a shame that is. And then I think of Reuters, the news agency, their report on March the 12th of 2012, that more than 300,000 churches are being foreclosed upon in the United States. Now, that's churches of all types of denominations, but nonetheless, more than 300,000 churches are being foreclosed upon in the United States. The Babylons, you might say, are falling. Too many of today's pastors are preoccupied with building personal empires and expensive buildings. And I've had people, we have a Christian school that goes K-3 through the 12th grade, and we've got well over 350 students and hopefully to have 400 this coming year. And I hope you'll pray for that, as a matter of fact, that we will. But what I'm saying is this. I've had people say, we need to build a building. If we did this, we'd have more if we do that. And I'd say, hey, great, I'm not against buildings, but we pay as you go. We're not going to borrow any money. Oh, you don't understand. If you borrowed the money, then get it up there and people want to come. No. If the people want it, they'll pay. If it's of the Lord, he'll bring it in. Pay as you go. Now, I had some people trying to get me to build a school building a few years ago. And all they had all the prices and everything set out and how many people were donating things for it. They were going to donate. One was going to donate the roof and all the work, and somebody else donating this and donating that, and it was really, it was pretty good. It was going to be able to build for about $800,000, a building that would have cost $1.5 million normally. And they said, can we get started? I said, yeah, whatever money you have to put into it, go ahead. Can we borrow? No. And they let me know that they didn't think that was very wise on my part. Well, do you know within a year what happened? We had the great big financial fallout that hit about 2008, 2007, 2008. A couple of those guys that were donating roofs and things are out of business and out of state. Do you realize that we would have been one of those 300,000 that were being foreclosed upon? So we do it God's way. When prayer and the Bible went out of the schools in the mid-1960s, and by the way, I can remember up to my junior year of school that we every day read the Bible and had prayers. Matter of fact, even at that time, after they said it was banned, some of us would pray in school, and it is a public school, and they allowed it. You know, I mean, nobody tried to stop. But they outlawed it, and we began to see a decline. For example, our Christian school, we have standards of morality and of dress. And young girls, their dress cannot go above their knee. It's got to go down to the middle of the knee. Young men have to have collars on their shirts. They've got to wear belts and socks and shoes and things of that nature. Now you have people, when you look at it, say, man, that's strict, but that was normal for the public schools back in the 1960s, especially the mid-60s when I was there. Now, isn't it interesting that within 5 years after they took out the Bible, all of a sudden kids weren't required to have those dress standards? And in a short period of time, kids were dressing like slobs to go to school, not learning anything about professionalism. And in some areas, they even have kids that were wearing their pajamas to school, not learning anything about self-respect, let alone respect for others. And many in that day predicted some of the things that would happen because we took the Bible out of the schools. Well, I heard a lot of those predictions back then, and to be quite honest with you, it's much worse today than many of them said it would be. But I'm saying all that to say this. Years ago, these reports would have hastened a preaching of repentance and a need for revival throughout the country, and we would have been fasting and praying and confessing our sins and forsaking them. But instead, we're allowing the cares of this world, the lust for other things, and the deceitfulness of riches have to choke an entire generation that's become unfruitful. We've allowed the flesh to set the agenda. As a result, too many of the preachers dislike sermons on repentance and separation from worldliness and false doctrine. Why? They fear their givers will leave. And too often, they're playing favorites with standards differing according to the group that backs them. Now, I've seen young men, I've seen preachers and others, they get upset. Look at the way that person's dressed. Look at the way this person's doing that. But then they get somebody that's, for lack of a better term, on their side or one of their disciples that's dressed the same way or doing some of the same things the other person's doing. All of a sudden, there's a pass for them. Well, we're working with them, and so you've just got to overlook that. You've got to love them.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.